Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Greg Skordish, your host on KSL News Radio this afternoon. As some of you know, I'm an attorney and I practiced law since 1982. About 20 years ago, I remember having a case against a fellow from the Attorney General's office, young, great-looking kid, and I thought, this guy is an outstanding lawyer. He has a tremendous presence. He's going to be Attorney General someday, or he's going to be governor someday. And instead, he took a fascinating path, and we've all followed him, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. And I'm talking, of course, about Jason Perry. Jason, quite a day we've had today, and starting with the Southern Utah press conference. Can you get us up to speed?
Yeah, I can. Greg, it's always great being with you. I remember those early days so well. One of the great lawyers in the whole state of Utah.
I think you beat me every time, but thank you.
This has been just a really big day in politics. We start looking at what is going to happen, particularly for the governor's race going into 2020. And the reality is we have another great candidate in John Huntsman announcing today. And his announcement really does change the political landscape to a significant degree. And everyone who's in right now and everyone who's thinking about it is reevaluating their strategies.
So remind us where we are, Jason. Spencer Cox, has he announced? Is he in?
Yeah, so Spencer Cox has announced. He did quite a while ago, and he has been touring the state of Utah. He's said before the election he's going to visit every single city in the state of Utah, and he's hit a pretty decent amount of them so far.
Yeah,
so he has announced that he is in.
We
also have Jeff. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It looks like he hits about a dozen cities a week. I think there are 248. So, yeah, he's claimed that he's going to do that. How about Jeff Birmingham? Do we know, is he in? Is he formally in?
Yeah, so he's officially announced, you know, and he's really carved out a name for himself in the venture capital community and in the business creation and development side of the state. He's been hitting the ground pretty hard as well, and particularly, you know, the point of the mountain, that part of the state, he's been working really hard to build his name ID. So he's announced. Amy Winder Newton, a member of our city council, has also announced that she is running for as well. Of course, she is a very well-known, very well-recognized name in political circles as well. And she has been touring various parts of the state also.
Yeah, certainly the Winder name in this community carries a lot of weight. And I think Amy Winder Newton is currently on the Salt Lake County Council, and she has jumped in as well. I was interested, and we're joined this afternoon by Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. I was interested, Jason, listening or reading about some follow-up from the UTA fallout. And, of course, anytime there's UTA fallout, we have to read and hear about Speaker Greg Hughes. Is he in? Is he not in? Or is this something that's going to affect him so badly that he probably can't jump in?
Yeah, I think he's likely in no matter what. There was some talk that he was about to announce pretty recently, and I think he may strategically wait for a week or two until after this announcement from Governor Huntsman. But I think he's in no matter what. And he's really saying, you know, to people in the circles out there that these negatives that people talk about are just a byproduct of him getting in the middle of really nasty issues that someone had to get involved in. He had many of these opportunities to talk about this when he was the Speaker of the House. I don't think any of this makes him even think twice about jumping into this race.
So for the Republican side so far, Jason, we've got John Huntsman Jr., Spencer Cox, Jeff Birmingham, Amy Winder Newton, and potentially Greg Hughes. Do we have any indication from the Democrats as to what their thoughts are? And we're talking about the governor's race next year, correct?
Yes, for 2020. And we ought to mention also one other candidate that everyone is expecting any day to announce, and that is Thomas Wright, who led the Republican Party for quite a while here in the state of Utah. And he's been talking to people as well. I think we could very well see an announcement from him as well. But to your question also, we do not have the Democratic Party has not put someone forward yet. I expect that they will. I know they're talking to various options even now, talking about what the strategy might be. But we will have someone.
So I'm a little embarrassed because I don't know a lot about Jeff Birmingham. Hopefully we're going to have him on this afternoon, and I've been reading about him. He seems like he's got a great background. We all know Speaker Hughes. I've followed Spencer Cox for years, and Amy Winder certainly has a great name and great reputation. But what do you think the introduction of John Huntsman Jr. does to this race? I mean, is he going to be seen as the one to beat?
Yeah, I think that he is going to be considered the one to beat once he jumps in this race. You start looking at the reasons why, and one is what all the candidates are trying to do is build their name ID throughout the state. He already has that, and not just in the state of Utah, but even around the world, people know his name. The other thing people are trying to do is raise money, which he's also able to do, has resources of his own. So I think those give him a pretty great advantage. But one of the other things that will be interesting to watch is the demographics of the state have changed even more since he was the governor. There are pockets of Utah that don't love the fact that he left the position to go be ambassador to China when he did. But he's going to try to appeal not just to those moderate Republicans, but I think you're going to see John Huntsman trying to appeal to independents and Democrats in the state as well. And I think that's why he's going to be such a tough person to beat.
And that's an interesting thing you just said, Jason. As I recall, Huntsman ran twice, and during his second term, he left. And I think that's how we got Gary Herbert as our governor. Wasn't he his lieutenant at the time? And then Herbert ran as almost like an incumbent. But there were some people that, and you just reminded us, that were a little concerned that Huntsman, for lack of a better word, sort of bailed out in the middle of his term.
Yeah, so there are people then that did not like the fact that he did that, and that's what some of his opponents are going to bring up. And there are pockets throughout the state that are going to say that as well. And I think that John Huntsman is going to have to spend some time talking to those potential voters about why he did it. And he's tried to address it even today, you know, as in his announcement that he took those positions because his country was calling and he was going to salute no matter what party was in charge in the White House. And I think he's going to try to talk about that a lot, and maybe talk about why the experience he got once he took these positions is going to make him better as a governor now. But there will be Republicans in Utah who are going to want an explanation from him, and they're going to want some assurances as well that he's going to stay if he's elected.
It seems like a lot of times with either party that getting out of your own party's convention or primary is part of the problem, and you articulated that really well. We're joined this afternoon by Jason Perry from the Hinckley Institute of Politics. But the inner circle of the Republican Party, the people that are making these decisions in terms of who's going to be their candidate, may not care as much about the fact that Huntsman was appointed by Democratic President Obama to serve as an ambassador for, I don't remember if he appointed him for Russia or China. But the inner workings of the Republican Party are going to decide who their candidate's going to be, correct?
Well, to a large extent, they're going to have a significant say. But that's another great point about something that has changed since John Huntsman was the governor, is there's now another alternative path to the primary in the state. So one goes to the caucus convention system, and I'm one is of the opinion that even if you are probably going to lose at that convention, you need to spend time there because it's your family. It's like a big family reunion. You might not always like all the members of the family, but you're still the family. But I expect that he and probably every other candidate is also going to get signatures, which means even if they do not fare well at the convention, they're still on the ballot for the primary.
Jason, I have one more question, even though we're out of time, just because I love talking to you. Can you give us your 30-second take on the Salt Lake City mayoral race? Were you surprised at the Aaron Mendenhall won by a bigger margin than I think a lot of people expected, and Luz Escamilla was a very formidable candidate.
Yeah, this is one of those races where I think Salt Lake City was just fortunate to have two fantastic candidates. Almost couldn't go wrong, but it came down to the kind of experience that people in Salt Lake City wanted the most. So you had a state legislator versus someone that's been dealing with on the city council for a very long time. The margin was bigger than I expected, but some of those issues that Aaron talked about in campaign, particularly those issues surrounding air quality, resonated really well with Salt Lake City voters, and they believe that she's going to do something about it. I think she will.
And two candidates that probably would align themselves Democrat. Jason, thank you so much, and we're going to be hearing a lot from you over the next year as the other races heat up and as other people jump in. We'll be right back.
I hope to.